We are honored today to be joined by our Law Enforcement Officer of the Day, Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office at the invitation of Representative Salzman. Chief Deputy Hobbs, thank you for your service and welcome to the Florida House.
All right, who does the best show prep? That was
impressive, and now I'm thrown off my game. Thank you.
Chip Simmons, Sheriff, is not here today, but instead we have Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and that was really cool. I'm watching the meeting. I'm watching Alex Andrade over here, and I'm seeing Michelle Salzman over there, and I'm like, that green uniform looks familiar. That body looks familiar. That looks like Andrew Hobbs. Why is he sitting on the front row? And then she made the announcement. I'm like, oh, and I knew you were coming in today. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm grabbing this for 100% for sure.
Yeah. There's a couple times in my life that I felt very awkward, and that was awkward. It was an amazing experience. They treated me amazing. I was able to see a lot of different things. But when you have all of these House of Representatives clapping and the, you know, everybody there's clapping, it just makes you feel odd because I don't do this job for recognition or anything like that. I just do it because it's what I've always done, and I love helping our community. And it was awkward. It was awkward and weird, but I was honored. It was an amazing day. It was something that I will tell my grandchildren about.
It's humbling. It's embarrassing. It's like, it almost, I mean, I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
Like, I can see that even just the hearing of it and remembering of it, that it brings a tear because it's overwhelming. You know, and I mean, I can say this because I know you're a man of faith too. Okay. Yeah. You know, that's how we go to heaven with like cheers and applause and trumpets and welcome. And, you know, like anyway, so people who only think the best of it anyway, just not to get off track, but it's neat to see. And I'm really glad she did. I assume Michelle put you up for that.
She did. Yeah
no, that's great.
She absolutely did.
It's really cool. All right. On to regular matters since you're here to talk about all the things that are going on in the sheriff's office this week. A couple of arrests related to really awful treatment of animals. Let's start with the chronologically. I think what started was the video of the guy. I hate to describe this, but he was abusing the dog in the backyard. It came out on a real shoddy kind of camera, and it had gotten circulated and then taken down a bunch on the internet because you're not supposed to show animal cruelty, I guess, on Facebook. Somebody had sent me the link. I watched it, and thank goodness I didn't have to report it to you, and I didn't do it on the air because I wanted to wait to see how it played out. Because they had said they'd contacted state attorney's office and animal control, and I figured you guys would be soon to follow. So tell me what happened here. Tell me what you guys did, how this all worked out.
So you have to fast forward. You have to rewind into February. There was a call and reference, someone pointing a gun at someone, neighbors fighting with guns. We get there, and during that was an allegation of animal cruelty. At that time, we dealt with the gun being pointed at people.
Yeah.
We're under the impression animal control's been contacted because that's what we're being told. So we deal with the violent crime, believing animal control is going to come and deal with the other portion. We then find out later that there was some miscommunication with neighbors of who called animal control, who didn't call animal control. So the video comes up. We had already been back out there with animal control before the video got put back up. And we were working on an investigation because the suspect was not there at the time. Just because you have a video, you have to also be able to positively identify someone.
Sure.
We were able to work on it, get it done. The next day, we were able to.
And is this felony or misdemeanor?
It
can it be a felony?
Oh, you can. Depending on the level of it.
That's what I was
thinking. You can have a misdemeanor or you can have a felony. Depending on the level of aggression towards the animal or the damage that's done.
And so I'm guessing that video alone may be inadequate because it's the misdemeanor rule. Like, you've got to observe it. Is that... Am I thinking about
this
the right way?
You would do a warrant. You'd still have to do a warrant affidavit if it doesn't happen in your presence.
Got it. Okay.
So we did the warrant, got the warrant signed. We picked the suspect up, Charles Thornton, at his place of business, and then went from there. So that was that arrest there. We took care of that. That's the one that was on social media. And we had to put it on social media. People are like, well, why'd you show that arrest on social media? Well, the video had gone all over social media.
Everybody had seen the video, yeah.
And you need to let people understand that we're not going to allow that behavior. We're not going to allow you to victimize animals. We're not going to allow you to victimize innocent people or innocent animals.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. And so we had to make that presence known. We had to show that if you have that behavior, we are going to hold you accountable.
Well, and you know, of course, how social media works is it goes out there to, you know, tens of thousands of people. And they have the impression, they form a belief, and then they form beliefs like, well, why didn't the sheriff's office do anything? Why isn't... And so you're just trying to follow up and hopefully reach enough overlap of that that there aren't too many people who don't know about the follow, even though most people probably don't, right? Mm-hmm. They know the original outrage and that's all they see. Well, that's good work on the follow-up and investigation of that. You also had a case same week, at least in terms of the arrest being announced,
yes.
Same week for a dogfighting ring. We'll talk about that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives at 0745.
I was about to give you kudos on that.
We're adapting to Trump's executive order that we go to military time, no AM, PM, one time zone for the whole U.S., American Standard Time. I always call you Andy, but Andrew, what do you have a preference? Do you care?
So when I talk to people who don't really know me, they call me Andrew because that's on my social media platforms.
Sure, uh-huh.
But my friends call me Andy. So,
aww.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known you for years as Andy, I don't think anything of it.
I go by Andy. Andrew is the name that was given to me by my father.
I gotcha.
So, but my friends call me Andy.
I really hate the name Andy, and I hate Drew.
Wow.
That's hurtful. Except when girls, no, for me, it doesn't bother me, but you know, I had one really good friend who called me Drew, and I allowed it. And when girls wanted to call me Andy, I was willing to endure that too. But generally speaking, just it's a preference for me. So,
yeah.
And it helps keep us different.
It does.
Because otherwise, everybody would confuse you for me.
There's no doubt. We look just like each other. It's crazy.
Okay, back to the serious stuff. Really serious dogfighting ring arrest, and this is the evidence you found to confirm it is bad. Like the kinds of things I never think about as somebody who wouldn't do this, but what did you guys find? How did this happen?
So let's first start off a shout out to Animal Control. Well, now it's called Animal Conservancy, or they've changed their name a little bit.
Oh, okay. I did
county.
Not realize.
Yeah,
all
the
right.
County. They were out at a call, and they have a sergeant or a lieutenant who has a lot of experience. They brought her in for somewhere else, I believe. She has a lot of experience in investigating dogfighting things. She saw some things when they went out to an address on the outside that led her to believe that there might be some other activities going on. So she contacted us. Our investigations
multiple
got involved.
Multiple kennels of a
certain
size.
Yeah, multiple kennels. There's
condition.
There's ropes outside. There's all these different instruments of training, that is what you would call them. And our investigations got involved, and we were able to put together a search warrant. The suspect, before Animal Control had taken all of his dogs that were outside, but we weren't sure if there was animals inside the house,
okay.
Also evidence of fighting inside the house. So the suspect was taken into custody away from the home. We were able to get him away from the home. We were then able to do a SWAT entry, serving the search warrant, and inside we found a rifle, handguns, IV bags, a book that talks about how to make your American Bulldog a combative dog, and other evidence inside that home that would, again, support that this person was running a dogfighting ring.
And by the way, the IV, this is the picture you had on social media. That's the one that really caught my heart, because like it's IV bags like nailed to the wall.
Yeah.
And I assume this is what they would use when the dogs get hurt, and that's to revive them or keep them alive or keep them back in fighting.
Yeah, for wound care to keep them going. It is sickening. Let's just call what it is. It's sickening. It's disheartening. And it's also, you know, I've been asked about, well, yeah, it's dogfighting. It's bad. No, it's real bad. It's bad. But it's also the other crimes that go along with that. You have violent crime that goes along with that. Ilk is what I would call it.
I got you.
Because, you know, you saw the weapons. So there's a lot of cash. So there's weapons. There's violence. There's drugs. There's gambling. There is all these other things that go along with something as sinister as dogfighting. And again, working with Animal Control, I keep calling them Animal Control because I don't know their new name real well. And we are going to make sure that those people that are involved in those type of activities are going to go to jail. And I think we showed it with a partnership with the county. How it can work really, really seamlessly.
And the thing that bothers me when I think about it is, if this person is doing it, it's because there's a demand for the entertainment. It's because there's a market for people to watch it, to bet on it. There's other people doing this. Are you going to be able to use this to find the others, to stop the network? To, you know, like, because when you go after drugs, you go after more than just the one drug dealer, right?
So, yes, we've received tips from that arrest. We've received them online. We've received them through Crime Stoppers. We've received them anonymously with people that might be involved in this. So, yes, it's an ongoing investigation. And we will follow those leads wherever they take us. And, yes, I agree. You saw how many kennels were outside. So there's clearly a lot of people involved or a good amount of people, I would say. And you never know if those people are coming from out of state or anything else. So if you are involved in this type of behavior, you would have thought cases like Michael Vick, when
you're
Michael
right.
Vick went to prison and lost everything, you would think, you would understand, no one's too big, no one's untouchable, and if you are victimizing animals or people, you're going to go to jail. We are going to find you. Sheriff Simmons has made a promise to the people of Escambia County, and that is to courtesy, integrity, professionalism, but enforcement and engagement like we've never seen before. And we hold that every day. And it's just another example that there is nothing you are going to do forever that we don't catch you. It might take us a couple weeks. It might take us a month. It might take us a year. But we're going to find you. You are not going to be able to do illegal activities and victimize animals or people in Escambia
right.
County and get away with it.
And you know, I want you to arrest everybody who's committed a crime. I am also eager for the high-profile fear factor. I want people to be afraid to bet, to engage, to train. I want them so afraid that they're going to get caught that they just don't do it anymore. That would, you know, that's a good thing for me as well. We also had a shooting at Y and Mallory Street on, I think it was on Saturday, and this was somebody got shot in the kneecap. Is that right? What happened
here?
Yeah.
Supposedly there was a disagreement between two people, but sadly, in that situation, our victim is being uncooperative. I know that's shocking.
Happens all the time.
All the time, yeah. You know,
or they tell a story that doesn't add up.
Or whatever. Or, you know, sometimes it's, you know, in those cases, I get asked a lot. Some of those cases, if they're shot in the leg, on the side of the leg, or in their own knee, sometimes they accidentally shoot themselves, but they're
sure.
convicted felons, so they can't tell you they had a gun because then they'll go to jail and go to prison. So, or they're involved in illegal activity. They were fighting over drugs, or they were fighting over certain things they don't want you to know about. So, amazingly, an unknown person he's never seen before. He's not sure what type of vehicle they were driving. He's not sure what they look like. And they just found him while he was, you know, reading a Bible on the side of the road and shot him in the leg. Nah, that doesn't happen. So that's the thing, is when you hear some of these cases and you're like, well, I wonder what the sheriff's office is doing. Well, we're going to canvass the neighborhood. But if the victim is uncooperative and not telling you the truth, it really hinders the ability to find somebody. And usually, a lot of these people, if you did criminal history checks, are convicted felons, drug-related issues, violent-related, and they're living a high-risk lifestyle. And doesn't mean they are less of a victim. They are. But I can only help people who want to be helped. If you lie to us and you withhold information, it makes it a little more difficult for the men and women of the sheriff's office to do their job.
The reading the Bible is a nice touch.
You're welcome. You are welcome.
Hey, we're getting close to being out of time, so just a couple of real quick hits here. You had a career fair on Thursday. Productive?
Very productive. It was amazing. We had about 65, 70 people turn out.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it was great. They get an opportunity to see the men and women of the sheriff's office, and the men and women get to see them. And so we're looking to, that's a really great program. We're going to start doing that more often.
Nice. You've got Cops, Cars, and Crawfish coming up on the 12th, I think a week from Saturday, right?
We do. The Sheriff's Foundation on the 12th, the Saturday after this one. Chief of Staff Whitney Lucas, and she's also the Chief of Staff. She's the President of the Foundation. She does a lot of stuff for the Sheriff's Office. She's been getting that ready and working with the men and women of the Sheriff's Office to get that ready. So come on out to that. It's going to be an amazing event. Come have fun, eat crawfish, and listen to music.
Where is it?
Five Flag Speedway.
Got it. Okay, Pine perfect Forest venue. Makes sense. Female Blazer Academy starts
tonight. Yep.
Third one.
Female Blazer Academy. Absolutely. Continues to, we just had the Male Academy graduation a month ago, and now we're into the Female Blazer Academy. And again, it's just another example of what Sheriff Simmons has going on at the Sheriff's Office with a commitment to our community.
Last thing before I let you go, Andy Hobbs, the Trump executive order on changing the time zone to one standard time zone, no AM, PM, no daylight time, American standard time. The one part of this I'm interested in from your perspective is, do you think it'll facilitate law enforcement activities? But also, you guys use military time already, right?
We do. We do use military time.
Is it easy to adapt to?
It's something. It's
you don't like it.
I like it for work. I just have a 4 and 8 year old. It would just be a little difficult. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to teach them.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah, we use it. If you look at our reports and stuff, it'll say 0100, 02. So we use military time in law enforcement. At least we do at the sheriff's office. I'm pretty sure Santa Rosa County does too.
But you don't tie it to like Zulu, Greenwich, or anything like that. It's just military versions of local time.
Correct. It's yeah. It's,
okay.
We have a 24-hour clock.
Okay.
So 0100, 0200, 0100.
Got it.
You know. So.
So you never have people ask, well, is that noon or midnight? You know, because
correct. There's clear.
It's clear. Right.
Noon would be noon.
12.
12.
Yeah.
And
midnight is 2300 or zero.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. So
2355.
Yeah, 2355. So it makes it pretty easy. But I mean, I think it's a move in a direction.
And the name certainly is not surprising. American Standard Time, of course, Trump's going to make it that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Andy Hobbs, he's chief deputy at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and he was the law enforcement officer of the day recently in the Tallahassee legislature. Sir, thank you as always for the time, and I appreciate it. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having us on.